Welcome to season 5 of the Mindfulness Pilates podcast. I'm Beverly Densham, Mindfulness Pilates teacher of over 25 years and author. I really look forward to bringing you tips to reduce back pain to feel good, as well as working through stress to calm, with relaxation, positive affirmations and inspiration every week to inspire you in body and mind. Feel stronger, happy and calm. So on this week's podcast, I'm really pleased to be interviewing Anna Illingworth, who is a solicitor of 30 years plus experience, who specialises in employment law and contentious probate. Anna's professional passion is acting for victims of discrimination, especially disability and age discrimination. And her professional highlight is having acted and won the case for the oldest ever claimant in an age discrimination case. You can hear more about that in the show notes as well. Her firm is Robey Morris, and she's a partner in the law firm there. And I'm just really, really pleased to be interviewing her today. And Anna, actually, me teaching Anna the stress to calm tools and workshops and one-to-ones and classes and workshops for her team, Robey Morris, that all inspired the brand new book, Stress to Calm in 7 Minutes for Lawyers, coming out, which is now out in the bookshops. It's on the shelves. Really excited to let you know about that. And if Anna hadn't come to ask me for help with her stress levels, you know, I wouldn't be talking to her on this podcast today. And, you know, it's turned into a whole series of books, not just this book, but this is the first of the Stress to Calm series. You know, it's out on Amazon, Waterstones, all good bookshops. And may it help many, many lawyers and their teams and law firms around the world. It's launching in the UK and USA, out on paperback and Kindle, and it's very exciting. So watch this space. I really hope you find today's interview with Anna helpful, informative and inspiring. So big welcome to today's podcast. And it's the guest week, so I'm really pleased about this. It's all about working through stress to calm in 7 minutes for lawyers, or less, or more, whichever you want to do. So I'm really pleased to be introducing you to Anna Illingworth today, who is a solicitor and partner in the law firm Robey Morris. So Anna, big welcome. Do you want to just tell us a little bit more about your work and what you specialise in as well, how long you've been doing it?
Good afternoon. Yes, thank you, Bev. Yes, I'm a solicitor. I've been in practice for over 30 years. These days, I specialise in employment law and contentious probate. And with employment law, I act for employers and employees, and I with particular emphasis on discrimination work.
Yeah, that's lovely. Thank you very, very much for sharing. So how did we meet? How did we meet, first of all? And it's actually quite an exciting time, actually, because let's start with how we met, first of all.
We met networking, Bev. We met through Women in Business Network during lockdown at a remote, I'm guessing it was a remote lunch, but of course we didn't have lunch around the table then, did we? We just had lunch with us and nibbled away in quiet times.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it was really, really lovely to meet you there. Let's move on to talking about stress. So a couple of years later, it felt like out of the blue, you asked me to help you with your stress levels. So for what sort of things were happening with your stress levels at the time? How was it affecting you sort of personally and professionally?
I think the biggest thing that I noticed was that I wasn't able to manage and compartmentalize my professional life and my working life in the way that I have been. So, for example, I found that I was spending too long thinking about challenging matters, challenging clients, challenging situations, to the extent that I would ruminate on those things and sometimes wake up in the night thinking about those things and worrying them. The balance between my personal and professional life was being overwhelmed. And I think that was something that became much worse during COVID when, you know, we were all otherwise a bit more isolated from contact we might have had with colleagues and so on.
Yeah. So, yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And what stresses do you also see sort of, we'll come on to sort of more how you sort of have tackled that since.
Well, Yes, I mean, I think one of the things that I noticed with that bed, because I was, you know, found myself to be more stressed, is different pain. So pain that I'd had in the past, which was in my low back, which had been occasional, became an almost permanent thing. There was always a degree of discomfort, and there were things I could do to make it worse. So I came to you because I wanted help managing both my mental and my physical state.
Yeah. And what sort of, are you also noticing that others in your industry, you know, are affected by stress as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's something that we talk about amongst ourselves and that we're aware of feeling personally and seeing in our colleagues.
Yeah. I mean, I've got some statistics here that I've brought along from the World Health Organization. And they're saying that just overall that 43% of adults have adverse health effects from stress, and that it's a massive percentage of those going to the GP with stress-related ailments being 75 to 90%. Then they go on to talk about what it's costing businesses and employers. It says stress costs employers £300 billion annually in absenteeism overall per year, and that's also in absenteeism, being off work, low productivity, and all those sorts of things. And the Lawyers Gazette have had several articles coming out also on mental health as well. And the Lawyers Gazette was stated that 1 in 10 young lawyers worldwide are experiencing suicidal thoughts. And there's also about half of lawyers under 30 having experienced depressed thoughts. And also issues including fatigue, disrupted sleep, you mentioned disrupted sleep, and anxiety. So after meeting you and you asking me for some help with your stress, obviously we started working together, and it's actually quite an exciting week, because since working with you, I then worked with quite a few of your team, and that also then led on to the book Stress to Calm in 7 Minutes for Lawyers coming about. And if you hadn't have asked me for that help, none of these things would sort of be happening, really. And obviously then helping more people with it, which is lovely. But how have you found the, you were actually, so it's been really lovely since then. I then asked you, we asked you, would you write the foreword to our book? And you said yes, which is really lovely. So thank you very, very much for that, Anna. Yes, I want to say a big thank you for that. Before we move on to talking about the tools a little bit.
Well, it was my pleasure to be and my honour to be asked, Bev. It's not something I've done before, and I was delighted to do that for you, but also delighted to have been part of what triggered this, what triggered you to think through a series of really short 1 minute activities that people like me could undertake in their daily life. To make themselves feel better, perform better, look better, and so on.
Yeah, that's right. Because I just had this inspiration after initially teaching you that I could take the kind of Pilates exercise out of it mostly, and that it could be taught practically at the desk, in your work clothes, not all you need is a glass of water, a pen and paper, and that's about it. You can just come to the workshop or class. So how there are 7 tools that are in the Stress to Calm sort of toolbox that I taught you. Which ones have you found helpful in particular for you?
I think initially the meditation, so the breathing through meditation. I'd never tried meditation before, was slightly anxious about it, but I was aware of breathing because of other exercise that I do. And so just the counting breathing for me was life-changing, because it has an instant calming effect, a calming physically on the body and calming on the mind. So that was the first thing that gave me just an incredible feeling of relief when I was feeling my most stressed and my most anxious.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Anna. Because what we're going to do in today's podcast episode is to treat the listener to, I don't think I've taught you this particular counting breathing meditation before. I made it up especially for you in the podcast today and the listener. But particularly inspired by what you find helpful, which is the breathing when you're counting and concentrating on what you're doing. And that can be done sitting at your desk. Equally, it can be done at home, lying down. It can also be done practically standing as well. So we will be doing pausing later on in today's episode to do some of the counting breathing. So that'll be really nice. So what other tools have you found particularly useful for you?
Stress to Calm Our Happiness is one that I really love, because I like the idea of choosing happiness. And it's so true. You can choose to see things in a particular way, choose to put a smile on your face. And it genuinely does change your outlook and your feeling and your perception at that moment, which I think is again, an incredible power to become aware of.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that has to be one of my favorites that I teach. I think what I love about that particular tool is that you can go from any state. You can be in a stress state and go to a calmer state, but it's kind of got four. It's like a 4-in-1 benefit exercise. You can calm down, but equally you can feel, as you say, happier. You've got smiling in it. There's even research on the benefits of smiling. It's got a high power pose in it, so that can help, you know, lift your mood. That can boost confidence, boost success. So a lot of people have said, though, there isn't actually particular research on this bit, that people say, a lot of people say it boosts energy levels a little bit. So that's quite nice as well. So thank you for sharing a little bit about that one. You said there were a couple more you wanted to talk about as well.
Yeah, I mean, the last thing I'd say about the happiness was, when we had the group sessions, you could see everybody participating in that, smiling at the end of it. And that was something that was just commonly reported by everyone. It made people smile. It made people laugh. But there's the other one that I loved, and which again for me was something I'd never done before, but is now part of my regular daily routine, was journaling. And that really helped me for two reasons. It helped with resilience because it helps with perspective. It makes you focus on positives. It stops that negative mindset where you're just dwelling on the negative and the bad. And it forces you, because of the positive affirmations you choose to think about, to really see a positive dynamic. And it makes you be kind to yourself. And it reminds you that there are, you know, some wonderful things, ordinary things, daily things that we choose to forget about, that are incredible and that lift your spirits as soon as you remember them. It's got things that really matter.
Yeah, thanks for sharing on that. I think as well, when someone we'll pick a positive affirmation for today's episode for you and everybody listening today in just a moment. But even if someone isn't feeling like that affirmation, it does bring the focus to that. Or how can I feel like? Well, it's a choice, isn't it? It's like you're saying, and like we're saying in the teaching in the book, you can choose happiness, and it is a choice, because we can either stay where we are, which may be in a good, challenging or sad place, or we can choose to change our state, or we can choose to, how can I feel more like that affirmation if we're actually not feeling like that affirmation. But it's very interesting to me. It's fast every time you do journal and write down, and I love the fact that there's research behind it and doctors recommending it, and there's science and research behind all the tools in the book, and we delve into that quite a lot in the book. And you were actually, I promise to pick it up in a second, but you were actually you're the first person to read it, apart from me, my co-author, Janie Lee Grace, and our obviously publishers, McNider and Grace, Carolina McNider and Grace. But yeah, you're the first to have a sneak peek of the book.
Well, and again, what an honour, and thank you. But, you know, the lovely thing with the affirmations, Bev, is that, as you say, even if you don't feel like that at the time, what they are is aspirational. So if you read one which says, for example, I feel comfortable and relaxed, even if you don't, you think, well, how great would it be if I did? And it makes you think about how you can get to that state. And so I love that sometimes you don't feel that, you know, that's how I feel today. But the affirmation, the journaling helps you work towards that state.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's very solution focused, I think. And yeah, you can go through those steps if you choose to go through those steps. It's which is obviously, when I'm teaching it, I'm obviously encouraging that, which is good. But yeah, it's, you can obviously journal for longer. You can also pick your own affirmation, you know, make up your own affirmations as well if you wanted to. We obviously give examples of the affirmations you can choose to journal within the book. But also, I mean, you don't have to use a positive affirmation card deck, but you can do. I tend to use them in my teaching, the happy and calm cards and everything. But you can just pick your own one or choose your own one and do it that way as well. I'm just shuffling the cards here. So we'll go for a positive affirmation message of the day for the podcast. So Anna, we're going to have a talk about this. So there's lots of ways we can do this. Let's pick the card first of all. So I've just given them a shuffle, fanned the cards out. As I said, you don't have to use a deck of cards. You can do if you want to, you don't have to. Best card today for the podcast. I think, should we go for this one?
Yeah, looks good to me.
Exercise. So it says, I enjoy exercise. I love to walk, swim, or enjoy my favourite hobby. So we are going to talk about this, but there's different ways that you can use affirmations. So you can think about what it means to you. You can talk with someone else. Like myself and Anna will talk about this one today. But for you listening, have a think about what it means to you. If you want to, you can talk to a work colleague or friend or family about what it means to you. And as we've just touched on a little bit about, you know, journaling, you can also, which does definitely help with mental health and happiness. I think also with work-life balance as well, and getting things out of your head, especially if you're somebody that wakes in the night and stuff like that. There's different forms of journaling. I also taught Anna's team as well to help sleep better and everything. And there's a form of sleep better journaling you can do too. But this, with this today, you can, if you wanted to journal about it, you write the affirmation down, you can set an alarm or not for a minute and then write what it means to you today. So we're just going to talk about it, Anna. What does that mean to you today?
Well, again, for me, it's an aspirational one, Beth, because I'm not going to pretend for a minute that I'm somebody who leaps out of bed and is desperate to go out and do some exercise. I'm really not. I think I'm naturally lazy, and so I have to fight against my laziness all the time. But what I do know is when I exercise, I feel better. So I'm a fairly regular runner, and I do go to the gym fairly regularly, and, you know, I enjoy walking. And various pursuits, but mostly because they make me physically feel better. They are good for my mindset. I think of running as a form of meditation. I can just get lost in my thoughts whilst I run. So exercise for me always makes me feel better. It's always something where once I've done it, I'm glad I did it.
Yeah, thanks very much for sharing. Yeah, it's really good you do all of those things. For me, naturally, I love exercise and sport, but I've had to really change what it means to me. I wasn't very well actually last week, and it was a bit of an effort to be. I normally love walking so much and going in the fresh air, and it's one of the highlights of my day. But today, in the last week, I've literally been for two walks around the block because I wasn't very well. Today was the first time I didn't have hot flushes and felt like I had a temperature when I was teaching this morning. So I was really pleased to feel normal to go to work today. But at the same time, the energy levels were quite limited. So I literally went round the block, but I was really grateful. I did enjoy the fresh air. I really enjoyed some sunshine because you could actually see the sky. You couldn't see it at all earlier. Now I could see the sky. So it did feel like an achievement to even get around the block today, so I was quite pleased.
Well done.
Yeah, so it might not be very far, but you know, it's it's how I'm going to carry on the week, sort of thing. So that is the plan. So yeah, that's how we, and then it can then carry on into more of a conversation. Anything you want to add to that, Anna?
Well, for me, because it's got the aspirational side to it, I try and leave myself the message that even on those days when I wake up and the last thing I want to do is exercise, and I come up with every excuse not to go out and not to do something, that actually remind myself how much better I'll feel once I've done it.
Yes, exactly. I think that's also how I felt today. Yeah. You know, I could have just laid there for a little bit longer before my next work. No, I went for a walk, so that was very, very good. I also love plunging in the cold sea as well. That's one of my favourite things. So, okay, where have we got to? So, any other of the tools that you wanted to talk about today?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you know, with journaling, because you've done lots of journaling with me, I like to do my journaling always in the same book. So as well as doing my journaling daily, I quite like to reread earlier journals as well. And that's just something which, as I say, was not part of my life at all before we met, but now is a big part of my life and something which I think it helps me with really good positive perspective on life.
Yeah. It's actually very, very beneficial to do that. I've just got myself another brand new one for my one minute journaling. So I do different lengths of journaling, but with the 1 minute journaling, I have a special notebook for it. And it is very, very valuable and useful to reread it. You know, it's great to just dedicate some time over a cup of tea on a separate occasion to have a reread. You know, there might have been some action steps to take from previous journaling. There might have been some learning, you know, there could have been some inspiration. There could have been, yeah, as I said, different learnings to take from it as well, or solutions to come up with, which might have brewed in the meantime and then come up with them and things. So it's such an interesting one. It's such an interesting one. Yeah, thank you for sharing that, Anna. That's really, really great. We do also delve into desk stretching and power stretching and other types of good posture, goal setting visualization in the teaching and book as well. I think the goal setting visualization can help with work-life balance a little bit and take the mind often the work schedule. Would you say the work schedule's pretty intense and concentrated and there's a lot on the schedule? Do you find taking a break to think about a personal goal as a good use of time?
I do. I mean, yes, solicitors typically charge by time spent. And so your day is broken down into hours, which are then broken down into 6 minute units. And so you have a target for the number of chargeable hours that you record on a daily basis. And that's it's a fairly traditional way that lawyers charge. So it does mean that you feel that all of your time is accounted for. Now, if you have a day where you have lots of deadlines that all hit at the same time, you can start the day literally not knowing where to begin. So for me, goal setting can take a practical can give practical assistance with that, where I see the end of my day, which is that I've met all of those deadlines. And so in goal setting, I think about how I'm going to manage them, quite often doing what seems to be the most difficult or the most challenging or the most off-putting one first gets the ball really rolling so that you can move through. So for me, my goal setting tends to be a kind of a process, but it gets to the goal of having ticked everything on the list by the time I finish my day. And that I don't know whether goal setting works in that way for everybody, but that's what I find beneficial for me, a kind of methodical approach to my day that helps me get through. Well, partly help me get to the goal, which is ticking everything off, having done it, but also prioritizing, because some things probably can go till tomorrow. And it just makes a more manageable approach to the day rather than just kind of embarking on everything all at once.
Well, Anne, thank you. And when do you find the tools most useful for you? Are you using them as a morning routine, evening routine, or are you just grabbing a minute here and there in between, you know,
when I'm
very stressed?
Yeah, I mean, when I'm really stressed, so when I know I've got a difficult week with lots going on, I do it every day because it gets my head in the right space for the start of my day. And then I know I've got a few tools, like for me, typically the breathing, which I can pull out when I need them during the day, sometimes before a difficult piece of work, sometimes after a difficult call. In other times where my work, when I'm under less pressure, I don't feel the need to do them every single day, but I'll maybe do them once or twice. And if I find that my day changes, something unexpected happened, then I can always do any stage in the day, I can do one or all of the tools just to get my mind back into the right place again to complete my day.
Yeah, thank you very much for sharing. I'm hoping that's going to motivate you listening. Yeah, I feel my job is to empower you with the tools, but also to encourage everyone, you know, to motivate people to practice, because I think some people, I don't know whether you'd agree with this, but some people find it easier. I think it's one thing to form a habit, but but then it's about knowing that that tool is there to keep picking up when you need it and want it, or it's preventative as well. What do you think, Hannah?
Well, definitely. And I think the preventative point is an important one, Beth, because one of the things that I find is that probably like a lot of people, once the pain goes away and the stress goes away and I have a couple of nights of sleeping soundly, the pressure to keep up the good routines falls away a little bit because you feel you're back in control and this is all fine. And it can be an escalation in things that lets you realise actually, no, the vulnerabilities or the tendencies are still there. So I think that you have to know that the reason you're feeling better is because you're doing it. So it needs to be part. I ideally every day, but if it can't be every day, sometimes there's a break in the routine. You might be away, you might be on holiday, various other things. You might not, you might start your day on an early train somewhere and it's difficult to do that. But if on the whole you can have, three or four times a week, that routine that starts, I think it keeps your mental and physical self in better condition to rise to the various challenges that hit you throughout the week.
Yeah, it's very true. One of my wishes is that every lawyer has a copy of the book on their desk to remind them to keep that it's the support that's there, that they can just grab it when they need it, kind of thing. What I thought would be really nice next is to go into a short counting meditation for everyone. It's basically breathing, counting and concentrating to help you de-stress. So this is going to be a 1 to 5, a kind of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 meditation breathing exercise for you. So I really hope you enjoy this one. Enjoy. You, by the way, you can do it sitting at your desk. It's absolutely fine. But it can be done sitting, standing or lying down. Enjoy. Okay, so welcome to today's counting meditation. Just sitting or however is comfortable for you, close your eyes. Making sure that you've got good posture, relax your shoulders, happy shoulders. And you're going to be going counting between 1 and 5, but just starting off with breathing in for a count of 1 and out for a count of 1, relax. In through your nose, out through your mouth, relax. And then you're going to gradually increase your breath with the counting. In for 2, out for 2, relax. In through the nose, out through your mouth, relax. And then in for 3 and out for 3. In through your nose and out through your mouth, relax. And just let your tummy rise and fall. Relax your head, neck and shoulders. On the next one, it's in for 4 and out for 4. Relax. Relaxing your back, hips and thighs. And now it's in for 5, out for 5. And now we're going to count back from 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Going in for 5 and out for 5 again. Into your nose, out for your mouth, relax. Let your breathing slow down. And in for 4 and out for 4, relax. Concentrating as you breathe. In for 3, out for 3, relax. And in for 2, out for 2, relax. And finally, in for 1, out for 1, relax. You can either do this all over again, or you can choose your favourite number to count at that number a few more times. Or you can slowly go back to work or the next thing in your day. So a very big well done to yourself for this. Take a breath in. and then slowly open your eyes, or carry on the breathing if you'd like to. Okay, so welcome back after today's meditation. Anna, how did you find that one today?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I liked the progression from slowing down and then speeding back up again. I really noticed the difference, but the shorter breaths did feel quicker.
It's interesting, isn't it? I've actually not taught that one before, and I just wanted to breathe for longer. It's an interesting one. So I felt like at the end of it, I needed to give the choice. If you want to carry on, you might want to choose. So for me, I was wanting to do more in and out for fives. How about you?
Yeah, the same. I went back to the four, actually. I like the four. So I went back and did a couple of fours and then came. But actually, it was quite nice going to the ones to sort of bring me back into the day, if that made sense. So to come and then stop then and carry on with work, that I think probably works quite well.
Yeah. But sometimes you just want to stay there a bit longer. But yeah, no, thank you for sharing your feedback on that. But yeah, it's one of those ones you can do whenever you like. Also, it's quite good to think, okay, you can even do this in bed at night to help you sleep better, or you might have a moment at your desk, or you're on the train, or you've been rushing from A to B, or it might be before a court hearing or before stressful appointments, or to recover from. You can use it as recovery, you can use it as resilience and strengthening. So you choose how you want to do it. I mean, firefighters in America, for example, they constantly do, breathing on the job, especially when they're in a fire or something. And they, they do it to preserve oxygen levels as well as to help their mental state as well. With things like the box breathing, the 4-4-4 breathing, which is also taught in the NHS for, better mental and physical health as well. So there's so many types of breathing. But yeah, we chose that one today, Anna, because you wanted to do some counting breathing.
Absolutely, my favourite, yes.
Yeah, you found that the most effective. And it can just be a really good way when you've got to concentrate. And by the way, if any of you listening and actually joined in with that, obviously don't join in whilst you're driving, obviously. But if you did join in, what did I want to say on this? If you lose concentration and you've got to counting in for three and out for three, but then you've wandered, your mind's just wandered off, basically. And it's forgotten all about the counting. It's forgotten all about the numbers. This does happen sometimes, especially if somebody's tired or got a lot on. Just forgive yourself. Say, well done for joining in, but just go back to the number you were at or start again. But, that it really doesn't matter. But sometimes this has happened to me personally many times in the past where I've lost concentration, completely lost the number where I was. And it's like, oh, I got to number two, I think, and then just start at number two again. And then, and off you go again. And that's absolutely fine. So, yeah, just wanted to mention that, really. So we picked an affirmation. So done some breathing for you. So which really wanted to do. What else do we want to talk about today? They were the main things I wanted to talk about. How did you find helping, because it's really great that you yourself and your partners have dedicated some time to, the stress management, mental health and well-being of the team. And I thought we'd also just, mention a little bit about mental health, because something that I am passionate about is helping with mental health, which is obviously well-being and stress management. It's all part of it. I just want to say thank you that you have actually, made an effort as a company to help your team with their stress management. How did you find, I know you shared a little bit about the happy exercise earlier and how that helped your team. How did you find it overall?
I think once we started doing that, as we did it as a group, it was, there were the common themes, the things that people were struggling with, which they, some of them chose to open up about and discuss. But I think all of them reported feeling better after sessions. All of them were surprised, I think, by, in the same way that I was, by how much little things like the breathing. You know, we all breathe it all the time every day, don't we? But the way that you breathe, thinking about your breathing, helps your feeling of well-being. That stretching at your desk relieves those aches and pains in the necks and the aches and pains in the shoulders that you become chronic, that you almost don't realize you've got them until you do something which removes them. So these were common things that we discussed. And I think one of the things that everyone remarked on in the sessions was that we checked in regularly about what our stress levels were. And quite often people were feeling very stressed at the start of a session, and literally tool by tool by tool, those stress levels dropped. And people, you know, were feeling comfortable in their skin again, comfortable in their neck and shoulders, breathing calmly, with calm minds, ready to focus after the sessions. And that was just felt by all participants, you know, from other lawyers to secretaries to receptionists. People all felt better about their day once they'd been through the tools.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that, Anna. And as you say, it's for the whole team. It isn't just for, you know, solicitors, lawyers. It's for the whole team, which is really important. And you know, some people, you know, not sleeping so well, and you know, some sleep improves. I think typically the stress reduced between about, I always do the stress levels before and after, however, you know, checking in with everybody. I think the only time the stress levels didn't reduce and improve was when somebody had been on holiday, I think. So that's okay. So that was quite a good day. So, are there any parting words that you'd kind of, you know, things you'd like to say for, you know, someone else in, you know, in your industry, tips for their stress levels, you think, you know, might be parting words of wisdom from you?
Well, I think that it's waking up to the fact that there's a physical and there's a mental aspect to health. You know, the physical things you can tend to see and feel. You can feel when you've got an ache. You can feel when your back goes. You can feel if you've got a headache or a migraine. But it's not necessarily so easy to notice some of the signs that all is not well in terms of your mental health. If you think about your emotional health, your social health, your psychological state, some of those things you don't necessarily notice that there's an issue until something hits you. It might be not sleeping properly. It might be realizing that you're very short-tempered, snapping at people you don't mean to snap at, and so on. And those are kind of little alerts that all is not well in terms of your mental state. Sometimes it might be a nearest and dearest pointing out to you that you don't see yourself. But whatever that is, take note in the same way that you would a physical aid campaign, and understand that you need to do something about it. And I think that the tools are a way that you can do something about it in a gentle way that's, you know, effective from a time point of view, that you will actually have a little bit of fun with. It can help you with those signs of ill health that are not necessarily physical.
Yeah. Thank you very much for sharing that. I think many people can relate to the snapping at somebody, or really snapping at somebody, or it can be a tone of voice, and somebody's tone of voice can be not so nice. And one of my things I notice is if somebody's tone of voice is goes more stressed or upset or angry, like, you know, you mentioned, you know, if somebody raises up to the other person's level, then the resilience, in my observation of myself and other people, then the resilience has dropped, and the inner strength and the mental health resilience has kind of dropped down as well. But yeah, thank you so much for sharing those sort of parting words of wisdom. And I'm going to put all your details of your website and everything in the show notes, but where can everybody find you to find out more about your work and the firm Robey Morris?
Well, if you Google my name or if you Google Robey Morris, you will be able to find your way to us.
That's great. Thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast today. It's really much appreciated, Anna.
My pleasure, Bev. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Mindfulness Pilates podcast. Please rate and review on your podcast platform. You can access the free healing meditation and Pilates to ease back pain in 3 minutes morning routine on my website. And you can also book your free Pilates taster class at the Zoom studio, one-to-one Pilates program, and mindfulness Pilates classes and more at www.mindfulnesspilates.com.